welcome. This is Brad Armstrong, and this is Life Between the Poles. As you know, if you've been following me at all, you know that I was a photojournalist for 20 years and a commercial photographer for 11, but I try to tell some stories about my life and some of the whimsical shenanigans that go on. And so I had a recording ready to go, and I listened to it again, and God, it was boring. So I wanted to tell a story. I'm not going to talk about photography this time. I want to just get right down into a story. It was 1999. It was 10 years before myself and everyone else at the paper lost their jobs. But we would get, Rick Wiley was the photo editor at the time. I was a staff photographer, and we would get like three assignments a day on average. And, you know, in between there, you would have accidents or fires or spot news, or that you got to find a feature for page three. We need art for page three. Some days, though, it was slow. You had two assignments, and some days you had none. But I was between assignments. Now, I'm going to tell you, this story is pretty tragic, but it has a, I believe it has a happy ending. It's very intense. So I don't know if you like it, but it was one of the more intense things that happened to me while I was a staff photographer. It was 1999, and I was between assignments, and I had a little bit of time. And my front strut to my truck was worn out. So I went to Napa Auto Parts, which was like McQueen Road and Chandler Boulevard, if you're local here. It's in Chandler, Arizona. And I went to Napa, and I pulled into the parking lot. And I didn't park in front of the building. I parallel parked next to the sidewalk, very close to the entrance to the business. So I went in, I bought my strut. Now, let me back up just a little bit. All my camera gear is on the front seat of the car, or it's on the floor of the front seat in the front passenger side. So it's all right there. And so I buy the strut, I go out to the car, and I, you know, I've bought things before when it comes to maintaining my vehicle. I'll take the vehicle apart and find out that the part that I bought was the wrong part or it didn't fit. So I'm in the parking lot, and I have my front door open, and I'm standing next to my door in the entrance to the car. And so I open the box, and I'm looking at the strut, and I'm kind of like thinking, you know, let's see if it looks anywhere familiar to my strut on the front end, on the passenger side front end. Well, while I was doing that, a vehicle was exiting the business, probably 40 feet away, pretty close. And so the car exits and makes a right, you know, when you, with traffic. Now, there was no traffic, so the guy just pulls out of the parking lot and makes a right. And as he starts turning the right, I noticed that I heard a little bit of noise, quiet noise, and I just kind of looked up, and a Pepsi bottle and a grocery bag and a couple other items fall out of the driver's side of the car and roll out into Chandler Boulevard, which is a big street. So I was thinking to myself, maybe, you know, the driver's side back door opened up and his groceries were falling out of his car. Didn't think much of it. You know, it was very quick. But when the car made the full turn and I could see the profile of the car, there was a boy, a boy, I thought he was maybe 10 years old, There was a boy on top of his bicycle, pinned underneath the vehicle as the vehicle was turning onto Chandler Boulevard and was going to continue down the street. I could see the boy's head was 6 inches from in front of the back passenger side wheel. I was like, it was surreal. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And so I just ran after the car yelling and screaming to stop. And the guy heard me and he stopped. And, you know, I'm pointing underneath the car, and maybe by this time he could hear the noise. I don't know for sure what happened, but he was a young driver, probably in his 20s, early 20s, gets out and looks under the car and sees the kid and the bike and just freaks out, goes into instant shock. Now he's off on the sidewalk in a dirt lot, and he's just pacing back and forth in shock. And you know the old story of the grandma that lifted the car off of the child? Well, I can tell you right now, that's bullshit. I tried to lift the car off of the boy, and I could get it slightly up, you know, as high as the shock absorbers would allow, you know, and I couldn't get the wheels off the ground. And so I ran back into Napa Auto Parts, and you know, I yell at the guy, "We need a jack. There's a kid out front. He got ran over by a car. He's pinned under the car." So he suggested, he said, there is another customer in the car, in the store. And he says, "Let's lift it." So we all run out. And we run out and we lifted the car off of him. And he crawls out from underneath the car, and is all the skin on his hands are all burned off, because I think he had his hands on the ground and he was trying to stop himself. And, you know, he had grease and burns on his chest from the underbelly of the car. And but he was conscious. And we walked him over to the side of the building where it was shade. And it was a very hot day, probably over 100. And so we put him into the shade, and then we eventually walked him into the back door of Napa Auto Part, where there was a sink, and we're putting his hands under the sink. And, you know, 911 was called, and the fire department arrives, and they approach the kid, and they start to treat the kid, and the kid faints. He goes unconscious. So called the helicopter in, because they didn't know the extent of his injuries, whether he had internal injuries. So they called the helicopter in, and they put him on the gurney, strapped him down, and started an IV and all this stuff. And now at this point, there is absolutely nothing I can do. It was out of my hands. The first responders were doing their job. So I finally went to the front seat of my car, and I got a picture of them loading him onto the helicopter. That's all I got. So I go back to the paper. I tell my story. Everybody's like, "Holy crap!" And they interview me. And the next day, a story came out in the newspaper about what I witnessed and did, and all this stuff. But actually, the next day, I was sent to St. Louis to photograph a convention center where the St. Louis NFL football team played. I can't recollect what the facility was, but the Cardinals were proposed to build a new arena and field and stadium in Mesa, and it was going to be a multi-purpose facility, so they had land designated for this. So they sent me to St. Louis because there is a similar design stadium with retail. So I was there to take photos of this place, and So I call my wife from St. Louis, and she says, it's on the news. Everything that, your story's on the news. And, well, here's a reporter at Napa Auto Parts right now. Here, I'll hold the phone next to the TV. She turns it up. She interviews the guy that was behind the counter. And here's what he said. Yeah, I heard the crash outside and ran out and lifted the car up. And I'm like, wow. He's taken all the credit for it. He heard the crash. There was no crash. It was absolutely silent. And what happens if you're trying to wonder what happens and why he didn't hear it? The kid was coming against traffic on the sidewalk on a Stingray type bicycle. And when you pull out of a driveway or a street or whatever, you look left for oncoming traffic. You usually don't look to the right. That's why it's illegal for cyclists to ride against traffic, because they get hit by cars, or pedestrians get hit by cars. Well, when the young driver started to pull out of the driveway was sloped downwards, to meet the street. And then the street kind of has a rise in it for rain and water and drainage. And it opened up this kind of large cavity underneath the vehicle. And when the kid got so close to the car, he locked up his brakes, his bike slid out from under him, and he and the bike slid underneath the car. There was no impact. There was no skidding or anything like that. It was absolutely silent. I was 40 feet away, and I didn't hear anything. And so this guy, I heard the crash, and, we ran out there and lifted the car off the boy, and I'm like, holy crap. So what, right? Who cares? So a couple of days later, our assistant photo editor, Elizabeth Heffelfinger, who I really liked, I thought she was great, she wrote an article. And she titled it, Save a Life, Take a Picture. And the reason why she titled it that is because this was right around the same time Princess Diana died in the car crash with paparazzi chasing her. And while she was dying in the backseat of a car, the paparazzi were taking pictures of her. So she writes an article about how, I decided to take action and try to save a life and start instead of winning an award with a picture, which I never considered. It happened so fast. I never considered grabbing my camera. So anyway, she writes this article and submits it to the National Press Photographers Association, and they published a monthly magazine. And every news photographer in the country subscribes to National Press Photographers Association. Well, a few months later, I get a letter, and the National Press Photographers Association awarded me... I'm sorry. I need a minute. They awarded me the National The National Humanitarian Award. Wow, 22 years later. Holy shit. And they invited me to their national convention in Denver, Colorado. The East Valley Tribune sent me to Denver to receive the award. And my wife and I both went up there, and it was, a three-day thing, probably. They had conferences and all kinds of stuff. It's a huge event. Well, the night of the ceremony and awards, they have all kinds of awards. I sat at a table in the front of the convention, and one of the guys that I sat with, his name was James Stanfield, and he was awarded a Lifetime Achievement Award for his 30 years as a staff photographer with National Geographic. And this guy is a big deal. He's been to every country in the world. He's photographed cultures and locations and, you name it. 30 years as a National Geographic assignment photographer, you can just imagine. He had an assistant with him, and his assistant wrote me a card with, and the cover of the card has a portrait. Of a woman. It's a beautiful photograph. It says, "Holding to Islamic tradition, the practice of keeping her face covered, a young woman in Oman nonetheless looks out into the world with penetrating attention." It's a beautiful portrait. And inside the card, she says, "Dear Brad, it was a pleasure for me to be part of the MPPA conference in Denver. I met very interesting and talented folks like you who have left fond memories for me to remember always. Best wishes to you, and I hope if I ever need a good Samaritan, you're there. Regards, Peggy." Then James, he published a book, and the book was being released right around the time of the convention. And he wrote in the book, he wrote, "To Brad Armstrong, with great respect and admiration, I signed this book as it was a pleasure to meet with you, and hopefully our paths will cross again. James Stanfield, God bless." So anyway, incredible, incredible experience. I can remember it as if it was yesterday. And the visual that stayed with me all these years was this boy's head so close to the back of the wheel of the car as it was going down the street. I mean, I acted fast because I thought maybe if the bike stops sliding or he stops sliding, this car is going to go over his head. So it was very intense. And I didn't sleep for a long time after that. But anyway, while I was in St. Louis, they sent a photographer to Scottsdale Osborne, which is a level 1 trauma hospital. And they interviewed the boy. And he fully recovered, except for his hands were all bandaged and wrapped, and because he peeled all of the skin off of his hands. But he didn't have any internal injuries or need any critical care. So the kid had a second chance at life, and I'm just glad I was there. So that's basically that story, and I have other stories that aren't quite that intense, but equally as impactful, and I'll tell you those as well during this podcast thing that we're trying here. At some point in time, I'm going to run out of stories, though. Anyway, thank you for listening. If you find what I have to say worth listening to, subscribe, download, share, rate, whatever it takes to keep it going. So far, there's no monetization, so there's no advertising, so that's kind of cool. Who knows? You never know. Anyway, take care, and we'll talk next time. Bye-bye.